Hello, my name is Tim Law with Success Learning Systems, and today I am honored to be interviewing Mike Dorn of Safe Havens International, the preeminent school safety official in the United States and in the world. Mike has recently teamed up with two other phenomenal individuals, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman and Bruce Sedell, and I'm going to let Mike discuss this incredible link-up of the three of them they're going to provide for our nation. You may want to take some notes as you listen to these ideas during this presentation. Mike, could you give us a few ideas or descriptions as far as what's going to be taking place or how it looks like it's going to go as far as you and Dave and Bruce are concerned?
Sure, Tim. And again, thanks for having me, feature me here today. I appreciate you taking the time to address this topic. It is, I think, a pretty important one.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, I have a nonprofit safety center, and our emphasis has always been on, you know, how to help schools improve safety, security, and emergency preparedness, given their very limited fiscal and time resources and the many competing important things they have going on. And so my son and I were approached by Bruce Siddall via Dave Grossman. We've worked on and off with Dave for probably 8 or 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And done some collaboration with Dave and hold him, as you know, in very high regard. He's one of the most brilliant men I've ever met. And Bruce I had heard of but had never met until we started working on this project. But basically, Bruce and Dave have formed a company. Bruce had a company called PPCT, which is the world's largest police training organization. As I understand it, he has still over 50,000 certified police instructors worldwide. And
wow.
Just about anybody in the defensive tactics and use of force arena is quite familiar with his work, because he's well known for fielding extremely low cost, extremely reliable, and up to date training programs through a very unique train the trainer module. And what has happened is they have formed a new company that will encompass a number of new areas. They're going to be involved with search and rescue, for example, and a number of other new arenas. And one of those arenas is school safety. And so
mm-hmm.
they selected my son and I to author the content for a new 9-module train-the-trainer program. And it's just phenomenal. We've had excellent collaboration with both Dave and Bruce. And hopefully the projected target for the first year is to have over 2,000 instructors certified across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be the lowest cost certified training program available to schools. It'll be actually even cheaper than web-based training. We do some work in that arena, and that's an excellent way to do training, I believe. But I was doing some numbers just the other day. And depending on, you know, how large a school or school district and how many instructors and how many trainees, in some cases it'll actually be cheaper to do certified quality live training than to do even web training.
Wow.
Still not as cheap as custom video training. We've done custom video training projects for as little as 50 cents an employee. So it's not
expensive
as that, but video has its limitations, of course. You
mm-hmm.
know, you don't get the live interaction,
mm-hmm.
and video by nature has to be shorter. You know,
mm-hmm.
1-hour training videos are just not going to be typically as effective as a 1-hour live training program. So it's truly remarkable for schools to be able to come in and do live training. So we're just very excited about this. This is going to change the face of school safety as we know it in the United States and improve it, I think, quite a bit. You know, hopefully we'll be
mm-hmm.
training through those instructors between 30 and 50,000 people a year just in the first couple of years. So it's just an exciting thing for us.
Sure, sure. Well, just for the sake of our listeners, Mike, and I've mentioned to you before, I've got a number of contacts and primarily in three states with North Carolina, New York State, and here in Pennsylvania. If you could just kind of give the contrast of what some of these programs typically cost versus what you believe you're going to be providing. And I realize, you know, I'm not holding you totally the numbers as we've discussed before, but just to give an idea to, some of the school officials on what a phenomenal great deal that you're going to be providing because, you know, school budgets being what they are and everything, things are pretty tight. But this is one of those issues that, you know, every school has to be very much, you know, up to speed and involved with because it is so critically important.
Yeah, and again, we're still, until the manuals go out to print bid, you know, we won't know the cost, but the figures I'm hearing for the manuals, the highest figure I've heard mentioned is $25 a copy, and that wouldn't reflect any kind of quantity discount, say, for a large school district. And the manuals can be reused, and they're the only course materials that need to be purchased for the participating students. The instructors need a instructor manual, and again, the highest price I've heard quoted for that is $25, and then there are some supplemental things they can choose or not to choose to purchase. The manuals, I believe, come with the PowerPoint programs we're developing, but then they can buy auxiliary instructional materials, which are, again, very inexpensive. And that's it. Once your instructors are certified, they don't have to buy expensive curriculum and, you know, the trainer modules that we've seen that are, you know, the good ones, have typically cost, you know, just to get one person certified, not counting travel, you know, may cost, you know, $1,300, $1,100, some probably is that we've seen as low as $600, but that's pretty unusual for a quality program. You know, here, you know, you can bring in an instructor to a school district for not much more than what you would normally pay to certify a single instructor. And let's say you have 10 schools, you can bring in a number of people from your district or your independent school and have them certified. And it's a multi-year certification. They don't have to go through it every year. The manuals can be even reused. So, for example, a high school principal, if they had, let's say they had an instructor on staff, they could purchase, you know, if they have 80 employees, they could purchase 80 manuals and use them again the next year. And I know a lot of the districts and the charter schools and independent schools we talk to are experiencing, you know, sometimes very commonly turnover rates of anywhere from 20 to 25% among teaching staff, school bus drivers, you know, custodial personnel. So when you start talking about training large numbers of people, that's just incredibly inexpensive. You know, we trained 5,000 employees for the Indianapolis Public School System last year. And, you know, this is different than us coming in and doing the training, but it is our content. And we've developed these programs, and the instructors are going to be, you know, very well trained in a basically a turnkey training program. And, you know, it'll be at a fraction of the cost for what we can typically even come in and do, you know, training. When you talk about training, you know, field personnel, line personnel, which is what these courses are designed for. This is not strategic level training. This is training on, you know, what the school secretary needs to know about school safety, what the school custodian needs to know, the food service employee, the teacher, the teacher's aide. You know, these modules are geared primarily to school-based rank-and-file employees who are basically often going to be the ones who have the opportunity to stop a crisis from occurring, and if one occurs, actually helping to implement that school crisis plan. So, you know, it's just remarkable. Now, I should mention, too, out of the 9 modules, one is a student module and another is a parent module. So the instructors will be capable of teaching, you know, 7 modules for staff, which includes school climate and safety. We, you know, show how school climate and school safety can be used to raise test scores, how safety issues are a barrier to learning, and what we can do about that. Then common classroom and school hazards. This gets into a lot of things that result in a lot of injuries and some deaths out there that are usually easily preventable if our staff understand what they need to do to avoid these situations. Then we have situational awareness for safety, security, and emergency preparedness. Another module on reducing the risk of physical assault, so staff can learn what they need to do to reduce the chances they'll be attacked. Then a separate module on the prevention of weapons assaults, not only to help employees protect themselves from, you know, prevent from being the victims of a victim of a weapons assault, but how they can prevent assaults between students, of course. There's then a Homeland Security module, which is a very practical module in contrast with a lot of the just honestly ridiculous information that's out there on schools and terrorism. We, as you know, have actual full-time anti-terrorism experience and have also done extensive research on this topic. So this is, you know, not fear-based speculation. This is, you know, hands-on. What are the facts about the risk of schools and terrorism, and what can the average school employee do about it? You know, a much more rational assessment. And then finally, a very detailed chapter on warning signs of destructive youth behaviors and positive interaction steps. Now, that module, some of the information is carried over into the student and parent module. So here we take the superb work of the U.S. Secret Service and the United States Department of Education, the experiences of the first school district in the country to use multidisciplinary threat assessment, the Bibb County Public School System in Macon, Georgia, where they stopped 6 planned imminent school shootings, a planned bombing, and planned double suicide. And we take that information and package it for what a teacher or a support employee needs to know. How do I detect a child who's at risk, who needs intervention? What are the things I can look for to tell me that a student may be contemplating suicide or be at risk, increased risk of suicide? What are the things I can do to, you know, help with these situations? We've also incorporated the bystander research that just came out this year from the Department of Ed and Secret Service to help staff understand that issue. And then we go into the student module and we present it from a student's viewpoint on those same topics. You know, what as a student do I need to do to help prevent suicides among my classmates? You know, what should I be aware of that could indicate that one of my friends is thinking about suicide or indicate that one of my friends is really at risk for some type of negative outcome if they don't get some adult intervention? And then we carry that over now to a parent module. And, of course, these contain other information. There's information on gangs and drug abuse, you know, information for parents on what they should do and what they should not do if there's a crisis at their child's school, how they can help make the school safer, that type of thing. So it's really a very robust system that can, you know, really affect the safety from what we call the three-dimensional standpoint. You know, we see a lot. I was just talking to a company that does some really good school safety web training, and we were talking about this issue. I don't know how many times I've seen public school districts and independent schools throw a ton of money at the safety problem and have everything fall down like a house of cards because it's not what we call three-dimensional safety. You know, we write policies till we're blue in the face, and then the next thing you know, somebody is killed or injured because it's not really happening, you know, in the classroom and in the hallway and in the custodial closet. We see these instances where schools have spent enormous sums of money hiring school safety consultants and buying software programs and equipment for emergencies, and then they have an incident, sometimes not even a catastrophic incident, and everything just falls apart. You know, it just doesn't work because they haven't taken care of the simple core issues within their building to allow their staff to actually respond properly under the real stress of a real event. And that's where Bruce Siddle and, of course, also Dave Grossman are known as such experts, is, you know, how the mind functions when your heart rate hits 175 beats a minute and you begin to experience things like hypervigilance. You know, this is why so many of the school crisis plans that have been purchased and written by consultants in the past 10 years are in some cases nearly useless under actual field conditions, is they're not, you know, they're not written from an emergency preparedness standpoint and not developed in a way that is user-friendly for school staff who are under extreme stress. You know, we see that's just such a – I'm looking at some plans from a Pennsylvania school system right now, and they've done a lot of good work. But, you know, one section, you know, we're looking at, and this page is long, a lot of meetings have occurred, but the most critical points aren't there. And for that particular type of crisis, there's no doubt in our minds that they would experience a catastrophic plan failure, which fortunately that's why they brought us in, is to review their plans and find this stuff and we're going to fix it. You know, but it's very common to see that. And so that's one reason we're so excited about these courses, is they drill down to the rank and file level, but they are written in a way to refer the employees back to your district or your independent school's policies and procedures, but they they teach the employee, they make them understand why it's important to think ahead of time about crisis situations and how to prepare emotionally for that. And of course, the bulk of the courses are how to prevent crisis situations from occurring.
Sure, sure. Well, I had a couple quick questions for you, Mike. Obviously, you know, we talk about school budgets. You've already talked about the economics of it. Another question that certainly is going to come up, schools, not only as far as, you know, budgets or whatever, financial budgets, but also time. You know, people are, you know, pretty much time starved in a lot of ways. About how long, and I think it's great, first of all, that you're training the, you know, the gatekeepers, you know, the people at the front office and everything, because that's critically important. What kind of time frame as far as some of these modules, as far as learning is concerned, would a school district be looking at, you know, time-wise?
And that I'm really glad you asked that question, because I should have mentioned that. It's one of the key things about this approach. When we first started discussions, you know, Bruce is used to the law enforcement environment. They're primarily a military and law enforcement training organization, and police agencies train very differently than educators. When I was a police chief, my police officers, you know, I could pull them from the field and put them in school on average 6 weeks per officer per year. Now, that's a lot of training for any law enforcement agency, but, you know, even most agencies will pull their officers for at least a couple of weeks a year to do training.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bruce's modules were typically 2- and 3-day training programs, and the first thing I said was, this isn't going to happen. You know, a K-12
right.
school is not going to be able to pull their teachers
no.
or bring them in during the summer for 2 weeks of safety training or even 2 days. It's very unusual. Not to say that never happens, but it's extraordinarily rare. It's got to be broken down into much smaller pieces. And so that's why what we have done is break these down to one-hour modules. And the flexibility of this is that once you have an instructor and you have the manuals, you can pick and choose when you teach them and in what combination. The modules are all designed to be independent. So you could, for example, just teach the Homeland Security module. If that's all you needed, you know, and you felt the other areas were covered, you know, for your situation, you would just teach that one. If you want modules 1, 4, and 6 taught, you know, on a staff development day, and then you're going to cover other things with the remainder of that day, that's fine too. You can teach them in any combination and in any order that you want, because we recognize that, you know, for example, a district might have a web training program that covers one of these topics very well, and they don't feel that, you know, they need that module, that's fine. They pick the ones that would be appropriate and then schedule, you know, when that is convenient. You know, with video training, we can break it down even to shorter periods of time. You know, we do 15-minute segments and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You can often do that with web training, 20 minutes to 30 minutes per course. My experience has been it's very difficult to treat with any depth other than, say, a singular topic. I have seen, you know, training programs that are 15 minutes long on a very narrow topic. You know, you could do, you know, 15 minutes maybe on early warning signs, and that would be pushing it. You know, but, you know, we got it down to the shortest amount of time we felt that would be possible to give a decent amount of depth. And they actually have a lot of depth for a one-hour program, because the way they're designed, the student is issued the manual, and they're given a few minutes to read that module first. Then the instructor covers it by PowerPoint, and it's a mix between redundancy, where we feel the need to have them read it and then tell them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's different information in the read material than there is in the PowerPoint material. And so, in other words, it's not like you're sitting there going, oh, my God, I just read all this, and now he's going through this or she's going through this. You know, you get more information by reading it first and then having the PowerPoints. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually similar to the American Red Cross model, although these courses have more depth of content because, you know, where Red Cross is typically more teaching physical action steps in, say, their CPR class, where they're teaching you a specific physical skill set along with some content. You know, these are less physical skill sets. I mean, you're not practicing how to take a gun away from somebody or you know, physically how to react in a fight or anything like that. It's more information that you can apply with specific action steps, if I'm describing that where it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and another thing you mentioned, Mike, and I think it's a real useful point you made when you and I talked before. You had discussed a particular school, and you know, again, we'll try to keep it anonymous as possible. As far as the when you were sitting in with a meeting, and then the one lady that was there after you know a couple days or so made the point about the the reduction of their potential risk and how much you know they were putting out as far as workman's comp and so on and so forth. I think that's a great preventative point that you've made as far as you know to help schools realize the value of what you're doing.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was brought in, you know, I've often done subcontract work, and this was for a very large overseas firm, and they brought me in to work with a client, and, you know, they're managing this project, and I'm a subcontractor, so, you know, they negotiate the contract with the client, and I come in, and right before I go to teach, I realize that the client is paying $45,000 for me to do training for 12 people for 3 days.
Wow.
That's a good bit more than what I usually charge, you know, between the contractor and the district and so forth. But I'll tell you, I've taught in Vietnam. I've taught at the FBI Academy. I presented at you know, 3,500 people at one time. I have never in my life been as nervous as I was presenting for those 12 people because all I kept thinking is, gosh, you know, here's a school superintendent and the risk manager and the SRO and the business manager. These are all key, busy people.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, sitting down with me for three full days. And, you know, I'm thinking, is this worth their time is what I usually equate it to. You know, is this worth the superintendent's time to sit and listen to me for 3 days? It better be very helpful to her in this case to dedicate three days of her time. But at the same time, I'm thinking, and it was $45,000, you know, and I remember telling my manager, I said, I'm not worth that. That's more than my – I just don't think any school safety expert – can justify those kind of, and he said, you're wrong, you know, you are worth that. We have a lot of different presenters and so forth. I said, well, fine, whatever, but I'm just telling you, I'm not real comfortable with it. Well, I taught and we did our thing, and when I got done, I always go around the room in a session like this, and I ask people, was this worth your time? You know, was this helpful? You know, so forth, to make sure they're satisfied and got what they wanted. And the risk manager had hardly spoken for 3 days, very quiet individual. And when it got to her, I said, was this worth your time? And she said, absolutely, this is very helpful. And I said, just out of curiosity, if they will implement the things we've talked about over this 3 days, you know, do you think it could have any impact on your budget? Now, I worked in a district. This was a 10-school district, if I remember right, and a very good one. And I worked for a district, you know, with 25,000 students, and I had access to what we were paying out for lawsuits relating to safety and you know, which were none of those were in our area, thankfully. We didn't have any lawsuits over violence or any of those things, but we did have, you know, other safety-related litigation, slips and falls, that type of thing, and our workers' comp payments. And, you know, I was just astounded when she said this, but she said, yeah, we'll save millions. And I was thinking she meant, you know, over a decade or something. And she and I said, you'll save millions? She said, oh, I would estimate that we'll save about $3 million a year. And I was
wow.
just flabbergasted. You know, I had not done as much risk management work back then and worked with so many, you know, insurance carriers and so forth, but it just blew me away. I couldn't fathom. We didn't spend anywhere near that in our district, and we're much larger, but there are differences from state to state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a $1 million settlement in one state will be a $20 million settlement in another state.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it all depends on where you are. You're in a state where you can get these very large settlements. I live in a state like that, you know, but this state, you know, some places are maybe more generous with the jury awards and that type of thing. But it just really kind of struck me, and I thought, what can they do with that money? I mean, you know, in other words, if she's correct and they can lower their losses, even $1 million a year for a small district, you can, you know, if you're at all a competent school superintendent, you can do something with $1 million to affect the quality of the education that you're providing, you know, and particularly in these times where school districts are so strapped, the impact of fuel costs on our bus routes these days. I mean, you know, tax changes that we're seeing in some of the areas where people are moving out and the tax base is dropping, you know, we're seeing some pretty catastrophic effects. So, you know, when we can make kids safer, improve the quality of education, raise test scores, and we can cut costs, I think that's a really good situation for all concerned.
Sure, it's win-win-win all the way around. And, as I said, I think a lot of schools would be very interested as far as your program is concerned, teaming up certainly with Dave and Bruce. Mike, this has been just fantastic. How can people contact you? What would be the best way to learn more about, this particular program and how they could do it as far as their school district is concerned?
Yeah, the best thing is just shoot me an email. My email address is, I'll just give you my personal address. It's schoolsafety@hotmail.com. That's schoolsafety@hotmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to see that one quicker than I do my work address, so people can contact me there, and I'll be glad to give them more information. We'll have the samples and literature and everything done, I would say, and we're teaching the first trainer for the associate instructors who will actually go out. We're going to train 300 of them this year to go out and train the other 2,000. That training is set for October, so everything should be in place, prior to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and your website again, Mike?
Well, the website for our nonprofit is www.safehavensinternational. That's www.safehavens, plural, with an S on the end. international.org,
mm-hmm.
www.safehavensinternational.org. And I should mention, we have a lot of free resources on that site. We double our content probably every 6 months now. And my latest book I wrote is a free downloadable ebook. It's about a 250-page book that is.
Wow.
I've been writing columns for about 8 years now for School
mm-hmm.
Planning and Management magazine, and we get good feedback on those columns. So I've taken basically those columns, updated them, added some other information, and at the suggestion of a number of my readers, just turned that into a book, and I decided to give that one away as a free ebook. So
mm-hmm.
there's that on there.
Right,
we have
wonderful.
A number of other – we have tools, checklists. I think there's some safety surveys on there. And we have a free e-newsletter you can sign up for on the site. And anytime
mm-hmm.
we have new free resources, they go out via that newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
We're continually working on, those type of projects. This is my nonprofit organization, or our nonprofit, I should call it. And so we're continually trying to find new free resources, and there's a lot of new stuff that will be on there, coming out this year. So it's
mm-hmm.
There's probably more stuff on there than they got time to read.
Sure. Well, it's all great information, and the great thing about it is it's all research based and everything. And when you get things back from the Secret Service, FBI, counterterrorist programs and that kind of thing, it's certainly rock solid, timely information without a doubt. That's for sure. So, well, Mike, this has been fantastic. I super super appreciate it. As usual, I will send you the link to this, and look to try to get the word around to as many people that I come across as possible about this great program that you and Dave and Bruce are going to be putting together here and have been putting together. So I appreciate it very, very much.
All right. Well, thank you for your time and attention to this. I appreciate it. As always, it's a pleasure visiting with you.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mike, and all the best. And we'll definitely stay in touch.
All right. Have a wonderful day, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.